Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your host, Derek Oliver. Controversial, chaos, and committed, spiritual, chaos for your listening pleasure.
You cannot tell me on the ideas. What you gonna say, what you wanna hear? You might think it's right, and I might think it's right. You might think it's wrong, and I might think it's right. Sit back, relax, and just chill with your bad self. Put your mouth and your feet back on bottom. Mind for real, you gotta feel good.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazard coming to you on Block Talk Radio, Watchman on the Wall. It's a pleasure to be with you at this hour and at this time and at this season. Greeting to you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. We are here to let you know good news, good news. Good news is on the horizon. It's been on the horizon for the last 2,000 years, and that is Jesus Christ is on his way back to this planet right now. He is not hesitating. Everything is falling in place. Everything is in place. The men of this age don't realize that we are on the verge of the greatest event that will happen ever since the birth of Christ, the suffering of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and his coming back. It will be the removal of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, this church that Christ purchased with his own blood. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to redeem the world. That was God's blood. That was God in the flesh manifested among us, stayed on this earth for 33 and one half years, gave his life up until this present. This present day, he is now getting ready to come back. But in the procedure of him coming back, he will be here any minute, any hour, any second. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we know what the word of God says is how he's going to return. He's going to return in two phases. The first phase is called the rapture. I want to get that straight with you now. The rapture of the church is the next event that will shock the world. And we know what's shocking the world now is the war over there in the Middle East. That has to happen. That has to happen before the rapture of the church. Because God is warning the world. He's preparing the world. Get ready, get ready. I'm coming to get my body. I'm not coming to get a specific denomination. I'm not coming to get a special person. I'm coming to get those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those that have sanctified themselves through the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can satisfy my soul, my spirit, my mind, my everything. It's what Christ did for me on Christ, on Calvary's cross. So I'm telling you now, I'm telling you through the scriptures, I'm telling to you by experience, I'm telling to you by 58 years of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ from all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And now we're living in the last book, just right to be opened. The book of Revelation is getting ready to be opened by the sound of the trumpets. And the trumpets are getting ready to be sounded. But before it's sounded, there's going to be some Bible events that's getting ready to happen within the next 5 months. Ooh, devastating events. that's going to strike the earth. Amen. I want y'all to pray for me. I've been down with the flu, but I got enough strength today. Amen. I thank God for strengthening my body to come on tonight. I might be on about 1 hour. It depends on how I can hold up. Amen. But I'll be preaching. Amen. And Brother Tim Jackson will be coming on with me later. If he does, I'll probably stay on a little longer. But tonight, we are going to let you be conscious of what's getting ready to happen into the Middle East and what's going on now. In the last 58 years, I have covered Genesis to Revelation, and now we're in Revelation, and we are going to let you know what's on the verge of getting ready to happen. We already talked about the rapture enough. There is a rapture, and the rapture is the body of Christ. The body of Christ, sanctified ones, those that have repented of their sins and gave their life to Jesus Christ, and asked the Lord God Almighty through his Son Jesus Christ to come in and live within their hearts and their minds, that when the blowing of the trumpet gets ready to sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air. I'm gonna give you some events that's getting ready to happen in fulfilling the 70th week of Daniel the prophet, which is the 7-year tribulation. We know the 7-year tribulation cannot be started until the rapture. We covered the rapture of the church, the body of Christ that Jesus purchased with his own blood on Calvary's cross. Anytime you get somebody that don't lift up the name of Jesus Christ, don't lift up the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, does not say that Jesus Christ is God Almighty and the flesh is not of God. The only way that God could redeem man from sin, death, hell, and the grave, where God himself had to become human. When God became human, he gave his own self a name, and that name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Denominationalism and occultism and self-handmade religions is not sufficient enough for God, for him to be pleased, and has no power to redeem man from sin, death, and the grave, but the only power that we have is in the power of the blood through the burial, death, and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ coming back from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. So let me tell you right now, I'm going to make it plain. I'm going to make it plain because the next event that's going to happen is the rapture. It could happen today. No, not today. It could happen tomorrow. No, not. Why? Because it's not the seasons and the times. The seasons and the time. Every year, I'm trying to explain this to you so you can get a better understanding. Every year, there are 7 feast days. 7 feast days that the Jews will fulfill. And every feast day brings an event that the Jews went through from the time of Mount Sinai all the way up until the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and that was the 7th feast day that God entrusted with the Jewish people to keep until he returned. Every feast day has an event that will be fulfilled, and is being fulfilled right now, because 7 of those feast days, and out of the 7, 4 has been fulfilled. I want you to get this now. 7 has been fulfilled for the last 2,000 years. 4 has been fulfilled. You say, well, Brother Bazard, what is those 4? Those 4 is, number 1, Passover. Got that? Passover. That is the exact date that the Israelite took a lamb and slaughtered it and put blood on the doorpost in Egypt. And they put that blood on the doorpost of Egypt, and every doorpost that with the blood put on, they tell me the ones that was inside the house will be delivered by the blood of the Lamb. Anybody outside of the house, anybody that didn't have blood on their doorpost, they will be killed. Got that? No blood on the doorpost. That was a lamb now. No blood on the doorpost. The firstborn of every family would be killed. God brought that up on Pharaoh because he was hard-headed, and God was going to show him who he was. And there was a great cry in the land because all the firstborn of the Egyptians, their firstborn died because they did not establish the blood on the doorpost. I want you to understand this now, because this is far beyond a lot of people's mind comprehend. They had to have blood on the doorpost. Otherwise, death would take control of all the firstborn and kill them. What was the second feast? Second feast is the unleavened bread. That was the death of Jesus Christ. Unleavened bread. It was a sinless death. It was a sinless death. And the lambs in the Old Testament, they did not sin, but their blood was used as a sacrifice in the Old Testament until the Messiah come. So when they put that blood on their doorpost, all those in the house recognized that this represent that their sin would be not to their charge. What was the third one? The third one was first fruits. First fruits represent the resurrection. 3 days later, the Israelites came up out of Egypt 3 days later after they had slain the lamb. All right, that has been fulfilled. The next one, the day of Pentecost, that was at Mount Sinai. That has been fulfilled. Got it? At Mount Sinai, the law was given unto Israel. And since the law was given unto Israel, they had to keep that day because that is the day that they received the rituals, the laws, the ordinance to the Jewish people. Only the Jews received the law. They received the rituals. They received everything. Why? Because God was preparing the Jewish people to be an example for him on the earth for the next 4,000 years until Christ came. They were the people and the nations of the world to let the world know, let the Gentiles know, let the heathens know, let the sinner know, let everybody on the planet recognize that Israel is God's chosen people, and out of Israel will come a deliverer. And this deliverer was going to be nobody else but the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was the fourth feast days. Those are the four feast days that has been fulfilled. What are the next three feast days in the Bible? I got this from the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E is in the Bible. It is the next three feast days that the Jews are planning to keep is the last three. What are the last three? The last three. It's called Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacles. These three have not been fulfilled. Feast of Trumpets represents the rapture. The rapture is in September. Feast of Yom Kippur represents the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is found in October. and Feast of Tabernacles in the latter part of October and the early part of November is a Feast of Tabernacles. And these three feasts have never, never been fulfilled since the time that they have been instituted at Mount Sinai. But we have come to the end of the age. The end of the age, meaning the end of the church age. Not the end of the world, but the end of the church age. In other words, the church is the body of Christ, sanctified ones that have given their life to Jesus Christ through the shed blood on Calvary's cross, that through the cross only you cannot be saved by only one way. Only through Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in the flesh, suffered and died on Calvary's cross. Got up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. All power in heaven and earth in his hand. He is the one. He is the one that said in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, third chapter of St. John says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the only way that any nation, any family, any individual, any businessman, any mailman, anybody on the whole entire planet, that's the only way that man can get to know God is through Jesus Christ. When he comes to Christ, repenting of his sins, turn from his wicked ways, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. So I hope you can understand this, what I'm trying to say, because I don't want to get it too complicated. But the Jewish history is the most important history in the Bible, because that's God's timepiece. The Jewish people is God's timepiece. God does everything on Jewish time. Specific thing that happened in the Old Testament, amen, goes for the Jews in the New Testament. And they still keep these feast days. And these feast days, God is trying to tell the Jewish people in these specific seasons and times of these feast days, these events are going to happen. The first four, as I said, done happened. The Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, and the day of Pentecost. Those four have been fulfilled plainly. Three are yet to be fulfilled plainly. We are living in the last days, where now the last three feast days will be fulfilled this year, that will be fulfilled. And that is the rapture of the church. And then after the rapture of the church, Yom Kippur, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus Christ comes to get the church, he's not coming all the way to earth. He's not coming all the way to earth. He's going to be suspended in the air, and he's going to call for the trumps of God to sound, and the dead in Christ is going to rise, and we that remain alive should be called to meet the Lord in the air in the twinkling of an eyeball. I will disappear, and everybody else on this planet that knows Jesus Christ by the personal relationship, by faith, not by works, least any man should boast, will literally, uniquely disappear in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, and we shall meet the Lord in the air. All right, now, that's the church. The church will be in heaven, And while we in heaven, the seven-year tribulation will begin. It will begin at the trumps of the sound, of the trumps of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ. The church will be gone to heaven. And those that are left here on earth that are not saved, now get me now, that are not saved. I didn't say whether you go to church or not, because going to church is good. It's good to go and worship the Lord and praise the Lord. But just going to church is not going to give you salvation. You got to come to the knowledge of salvation through repenting of your sin and asking Jesus Christ to come into your life by the blood of Jesus Christ. When the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith that you have in his burial, death, and his resurrection, and you accept him and you repent of your sin, and you literally, you spiritually, you in every aspect, ask him to come into your life so he can change your life. The Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's the church. And the church is worldwide. There are people in China. There are people in Singapore. There are people in the United States. There are people in Russia. There are people in Israel. There's people in Brazil. There's people in New England. There's people in the United Kingdom. There's people all over the world that have my acknowledgement in some way who Jesus Christ is by repenting of their sins and coming to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, every one of those people, and God got their number. God got them written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that means that you have accepted Jesus Christ, and the only one that can write it in the Lamb's Book of Life is the Lamb himself. And when Christ writes that name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that means that you have accepted Jesus Christ. So your name got to be in the Lamb's Book of Life before you are raptured up. Before you are raptured up. You've got to be born again. Your church membership ain't going to do it. Your preacher ain't going to do it. Your deacon ain't going to do it. Your mama can't do it. Your sister can't do it. Your employer can't do it. You cannot, no way. You got to come to acknowledge that you are a sinner. You're born in sin. You're shaped in iniquity. Did your mother conceive you? Every man, every girl. Ooh, everybody on this planet that were ever born was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, because there's only one man that was born. He was born as a baby, and he was raised as a child, and he was given to the world for the Son of God, and that was Jesus Christ. And now he is able to save you to the utmost if you come to him. So what you saying? I'm saying that the church is getting ready to go. The church is getting ready to go. And I know people in the church today. I know churches around in the area worldwide. They have no idea. Their cults have no idea. There's going to be an evacuation real soon that's going to fulfill the Feast of Trumpets, that's going to fulfill Yom Kippur, and that's going to fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles. These are the last three yet to be fulfilled. And let me tell you, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I put 99.5 by the grace of God in what I read in the Bible and what I studied in the Bible for the last 58 years, consistently breaking down the scriptures and coming back with the scriptures and letting you know what it means when it says 70th week or the 70th, seven times and times and divided. That's getting real down in there, but you got to study it in order to know what's going on in the world today. So we got what? The rapture is the next event. After the rapture of the church, the Antichrist, which is, he's already here. The Antichrist is already here on the planet. I did research on that from the book of Daniel. And the book of Daniel tells me Daniel saw some dreams and he had some visions. And he dreamed about the last days, 2,600 years before the Antichrist was even born, and even was even thought of, 26 years earlier. Now we're living in 2024, and now we are in the last generation, and the Antichrist will come in the last generation. Now, just to make a long story short, I can't go back and dig what I already know, but I'm going to give you a point on it. According to the book of Daniel, he will come from Western Europe, the fallen Roman Empire. He will come from that western part of Europe, fallen Roman Empire. And when he come, he'll come as a weak nation that will be in control of 10 other nations that will come after him. The 10 nations came first. The 10 nations came first. When the 10 nations came, they arrived at the end of 1981. These are 10 nations. The 10 nations that are in power today is called, listen to me real good, is called the European Common Market, or is called NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. So it's an organization that all the 10 nations will come together. And when they get together and fulfill of becoming one nation under 10 European nations, then there will be there will be another horn, a small horn. And that horn that nation arrived in 1986. And the other 10 nations had already been here. So 1986, this nation came in the power that was symbolically described by Daniel as he said, Daniel said, I saw another little horn. And this another little horn came up amongst the other 10 horns. So this 10th horn came up amongst the other 10 horns in 1986. It came up, and when it came up, it was the least country. It was the weakest country in the midst of the other 10 horns, and that horn is known as Spain. This is Bible fact. This is Bible fact, and this is library fact. The World Encyclopedia and the Britannica Encyclopedia, they got it all laid out, which was already laid out in the book of Daniel. Now we're living in the time of Daniel, which Daniel said in the end time. So since we're living in the end time, 1986, Spain came on the scene. And when Spain came on the scene, they tell me before Spain was ever thinking about becoming a democracy country, it was a democrat. It was a dictatorship type government that was led off by Generalissimo Franco. And Franco was a dictator. And this dictator said that I want Spain to come in to be a democracy country after I leave here. And Franco knew he was going to die. He said, I want to bring a young man out of Rome. And that young man was named Juan Carlos. I'm talking to you Bible now. And some people haven't been this far. But that young man was named Juan Carlos. He was a descendant of the throne of David, and he was descended through Jacob, and Jacob and Esau were brothers. And so if they were brothers, then the Spanish people and the Jewish people are known to be relatives as brothers, because it was Jacob that caught the hole of Esau's heel and grabbed a hold of it, because when he got out, amen, and was born. They tell me later on in life, Jacob stole everything that what Esau had, and Esau sold his birthright, so they became enemies in one way. And they tell me Esau got mad at Jacob and was going to slay him and get rid of him. But God intervened and brought the brothers back together. So what I'm trying to say is that Spanish people and Jacob, which is known as Israel, are brothers. So Spain and Israel called intermingled and married. And when they married, they were intermingled with Spanish people and Jewish people, Hispanic. That's why 1492, Spain persecuted the Jews and drove them out of Spain and told them to go and find you another place. And those that did not fall under Catholicism, they were slain and killed and murdered. And so now there's a big confrontation between rulership. Who's going to rule the world? And some of the greatest conquerors in the world, listen, some of the greatest conquerors in the world were Spanish people, because they are conquerors. And all your dictators, main dictator, Italians, came from Spain, in the midst of Spain. So they intermingled, and out of that intermingle, they crossbreeded. And you got Hispanic, you got Jews, that's Jewish, but they got Hispanic descendants. So Juan Carlos was Hispanic Jew. And by him being Hispanic Jew, he was considered as being, listen, the king of Jerusalem. In 1975, when Generalissimo died, King Juan Carlos became the king of Spain. And he was the king of Spain from 1975 until 2014 was just a few years ago. And from the few years ago, they tell me in 1968, Juan Carlos and Queen Sofia had two sons. And Juan Carlos was the older son, and he had another son that he was killed by Juan Carlos. He was assassinated by Juan Carlos, and they covered it up. And by them covering it up, that left King Felipe. King Felipe was the last one that was born. And King Felipe had two sisters. And in 1968, Juan Carlos and Sofia had this young man called King Felipe. King Felipe was born in 1968. In 1968, I was preaching the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ even before that. And I was dealing with what? Where this Antichrist was coming from. And what I kept on reading, kept on reading, kept on doing researches, kept on doing the history of Spanish people, kept on doing the history of Jewish people, and found out that they intermingle and they are looking forward for this Antichrist to come from out of Spain. And now they got verified notes and information that this young man now, which is about 56 years old, called King Felipe, he is now the king of Spain, because his father, Juan Carlos, gave him the throne because he was up in age and he could no longer be king, and he gave the throne to him. So now King Felipe is the little horn that had eyes that spoke great things against him, against the Most High, and he comes out the, he comes out the Catholic diocese. And Catholic dioceses come from Rome. Rome was one of the wickedest empires on the planet. Rome was almost world universal. And now the Roman Catholic Church is considering themselves to be having a universal religion. That's what it is, religion, but it's not of God. The Roman Catholic Church is not of God. No church that does not go fully, authentically, by the word of God and live by the word of God and preach the word of God and preach salvation and preach sanctification. The one that don't preach nothing but a whole bunch of garbage and a occultism is not of God. If you ain't coming from the word of God, you're on your way to hell. If you're not coming from the teachings and preaching of Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell. If you're not preaching what the apostles and the prophets and all those preach from the word of God by the inspiration of God himself, you're on your way to hell, because there's only one name, there's only one way, there's only one deity that you can receive salvation, and the deity is Jesus Christ, because he is God Almighty. And the Catholic Church does not teach that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. The Pope has already said that the blood and the shed blood of Jesus Christ will really did not affect the world, and the crucifixion did not affect the world. It was not, that's what the Pope said now. And if you don't know that, you don't know your Bible, because there's only one way you can get to God. Only one way. One way. One way. The highway. Do not enter. When you say one way, you can't back up. You can't turn around. One way that anybody can receive to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that new birth still stands today. So what we got, Lord Jesus, what we got? Ooh, I'm taking my time now. We got the Antichrist. So the Antichrist is here today. 6'6", king of Spain, no 10 languages. His name is King Felipe. He's married. He's got two daughters. He's got no inheritance. There's nobody coming after him. The Jews has already considered him as being the king of Jerusalem, because his father was considered by the rabbi in Jerusalem that he would be the king of Jerusalem, but he had to dethrone, had to be dethroned because of his age and some discrepancy in his kingship. So now his son is about 56 years old, 6'6", 6'6". He's got the perfect number for six in his name, six letters. He is a imperfect man because of six, but the world will consider him as being perfect. But he's come short because of the letter, the number six. Only time God is complete is through seven. And that gives you the emphasis on this man being who he say he is. If you want some information, if you're not scared to dig into it, you could go and look for yourself. Go to the library and find out King Felipe, King of Spain, and see his background. You can find all about him on his background, see where he came from, see who he is, and he will give it. It will give you all the information he has. And he's got a high IQ, and he knows, listen, he knows every secret society that ever existed. And there's about 15 to 23 secret societies worldwide that is under his control. Oh, y'all, you listen to me. There are at least 15 to 23 different secret societies that is under his control, the Luciferians, the Baphomets, the Kabbalahs, all these secret societies are under the influence of Satan himself, because he's got a great program to deceive people. And these 23 different societies do not claim, will not claim, cannot claim that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, because they deny him as being the Son of God. And when you deny that Jesus Christ, flatly said that he is not the Son of God, that he didn't come in the flesh, that he didn't die, that he didn't suffer, that he didn't go into bottoms of hell and preach to those in prison, and that he didn't come up out the grave again and sitting on the right side of the Father, guess what? You have denied the ultimate plan of salvation that could only be instructed by God himself. And since God did it himself, he don't need no substitute for nobody to take his place, because he is God. And since he is God, he became man, that he could die like a man and be resurrected in the glorification of God himself in the flesh. But all that blood, all that blood was shed on Calvary's cross. All that was a bloody sight. All that blood was shed on Calvary's cross. It opened a fountain for every soul on the planet today. And the planet ain't nothing but a BB sitting in the middle of the universe, spinning around on nothing, with 7.8 billion people on it. And God can hold all that in his one hand. And the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful, just one little drop could save billions of people if they just would believe. But the Bible has already said hell will be full of people that have done what? Rejected. You hear what I said? Denied. You hear what I said? Ignored. The sanctification of the blood of Christ to set their souls free from sin, death, hell, and the grave. So what you're saying, preacher, Antichrist is here. And he will be showing up pretty soon. Because the election is another story. The election that we're running into is not going to be the answer for America. America got to repent. There's no world either that nobody could name that could come on the scene and change the whole world but one. Jesus Christ already came and died and sanctifying souls every day. Every day somebody getting saved somewhere. Somebody is accepting Jesus Christ. But no man on this planet, here, yesterday, or here today, that's going to be able to change the world before a little while. And that one man is going to be the Antichrist. Because when the church leaves here, there won't be one saved person on this planet. Not one saved person. not one saved person will be on this planet. Because when the Antichrist comes, he's going to sign a peace treaty after the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, there will be a peace treaty signed between the Palestinians and the Antichrist, and the rebuilding of the temple and offering the red heifer and reestablish a new temple. When that Antichrist gives the Jews permission to reestablish a temple and to bring in the red heifer, they are going to say that this is their Messiah. That's their fake Messiah. That's Satan deception. That's Satan trying to deceive the very elect. That's Satan using Christ's name, but have never known anything about Christ from here to eternity. So he will imitate what Christ had already done. The Antichrist would talk to the Jewish headship in Jerusalem, and he would tell them, build your temple, reestablish Judaism, go ahead and offer your sacrifices and animals, do whatever you are necessary to do. I will give you a 7-year covenant that I will protect you for 7 years, and the Jews are going to sign a death warrant out for their own nation. Deception is coming. Deception is already here. Deception, people have been fooled every day, every hour, every second, every minute. They've been fooled because they won't listen to the Word of God. Now, don't listen to me. Listen to the Word of God. Word of God got everything in it. I'm just telling you what the Word of God said. So the Antichrist will give them a 7-year covenant. And the world will say, yes, this is what the world needs. And there will be a semi-peace. There will be a fake peace for about maybe 3.5 years. Maybe they might make that because they're going to rebuild the temple and people will be having a good time. They were saying, hey, everything is going to be all right. But after the church leaves, this is God's work. This ain't my work. This is God. God is going to remove the body of Christ. When he removed the body of Christ, all the saved will go to heaven. All the saved, S-A-V-E-D, disappear, speaking of an eye, dead in Christ rise. We remain alive, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So ever, we be with the Lord forever and ever 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 more. Only ones that will be there is those that have confessed with their mouth, believe with their heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Not might saved, not thinking about being saved, not trying to be saved, saved. That's S-A-V-E-D, period. By what? His grace. By faith, not we ourselves, any man should boast. He signed the peace treaty. It'll take about a 2 weeks. 2 week decision on how they're going to sign this. 2 weeks. And when he signed that peace treaty, which will probably be on Yom Kippur, the Messiah will be here. That's the fake Messiah on Yom Kippur. But the true Messiah will be here on Yom Kippur 7 years later. Christ will be here on the top of Mount Olives 7 years later after the rapture. He will come back with the church, the body of Christ. Black people, white people, yellow people, Chinese, Japanese, millions of people. Millions from every dispensation, millions. And the 7-year tribulation will start the minute that King Felipe signs that peace treaty. When he signs that peace treaty, the world will say, peace and safety, yeah. But all of a sudden, the Bible said destruction will come. So the 7-year tribulation is yet to come. The big eclipse that was here on April the 8th was a definite sign of what's yet to come. It ain't over yet. So if it ain't over yet, what the eclipse was telling you is telling the church, get ready. We're getting ready to go home. We're getting ready to go see Jesus Christ. We're going to see our loved ones. We're going to a place where it's howdy, howdy, never goodbye. We ain't going to no party. We're going to see Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one that suffered and died for me on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. He's coming to get me. And if you want to go, you're going to have what the Bible says you got to have. You must be born again, not what some low-down, dirty, conniving, money fiend, crazy preacher gets up and tell you all this crap. and don't come and tell you it's going to take Jesus Christ and his shed blood to get you into glory. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your sister, not your money, not nothing. It's going to take nobody but Jesus Christ. So 7 years of tribulation, when it kicks in, there won't be no saved person on this planet that will know who Jesus Christ is until the 7th chapter of Revelation. Well, what does the 7th chapter of Revelation say? The 7th chapter of Revelation said, John said, I saw 144,000 Jewish evangelism. And when I saw them, they gave the number from each tribe, how many men will be in each tribe, and what they're going to do, they are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. There will be 12,000 from Judah, Issachar, Naphtali, and Simeon, all the way down to the last tribe that will equal 144,000 Jews, and these Jews are God's hand picked. There ain't nobody jumping up talking about I'm a Jew and I'm this and I'm that. No, God's going to hand pick these men. God's going to do it. So I need to stay out of it. You need to stay out of it and let God do what he said he's going to do. I got 144,000 virgin men that have never known a woman, and I'm going to let them preach the gospel for how long? 3.5 years. I'm just talking to you now on this basis. I'm going to let you know what's going on in the Word of God. So if you be left here after the rapture, you are going to hear these men. You are going to hear them preach. They are going to preach 1,260 days of ministering to the world, 3.5 years, 42 months, times and times and dividing time. They are going to preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is coming back again to set up his millennial kingdom. That's their message. And it's going to be heard, what, around the world, 25,000 miles across the sea, across the lakes, across the ponds of water, across the mountains, all the way into America. America going to hear it. China's going to hear it. Oh, my God, it's going to be dynamite. You talking about something exploding? Woo! And people are going to hear this. They're going to hear this for 3.5 years. So we got the 144,000 preaching for 3.5 years. And just before they get into that sermon, there's going to be a third world war. And the third world war is in the makings right now. What you're seeing a beginning of World War III, where the nations of the world will be fighting against what? Fighting against the people of God, the Jewish people. They will be trying to eliminate them from the face of the planet. And it will end up with the 38th and 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, it gives you a picture of Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal. These nations are going to join together, and they're going to come down from the holy mountains and up on the land of Israel, and they are going to what? They are going to literally try to wipe out Jerusalem and take all their belongings. And God said, I done had enough. I done had enough. And he's going to put Russia at the foot of the mountains of Israel that will be filled with blood. And the vultures and the buzzards will suck the men's blood. And God's going to shake the heavens and he's going to shake the earth. And everybody on this earth is going to feel God's footprint. on the whole 6,000 years of civilization of man for the first time ever known in human history. So what we got? We got the war that's going on now. We got the war that started in October the 7th, 2023. We got a war now that started with Iran. They are still trying to overthrow what the Jewish people said, you ain't going to build, you're going to stop this. And now they're going out for all-time war, and they think they can win, but God said, I will defend my people. I will protect my people. I'm just giving what? I'm giving the church folks. I'm giving the church folks an opportunity to quit playing church with me. Quit playing this year, I go to church thing. Or I'm in the business. I'm in the frame of being a church membership. That ain't going to do it. You've got to be born again, sanctified. And I don't mean rolling and shouting in the floor. I mean set apart from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ and walking in the love of God. And the church is not doing it. They got the church used as some kind of whorehouse, some kind of place where you can get pleasure, somebody where you can get noticed. That's not the church. The church, what, is a soul-saving station, and it's not the building. It's the people that pertain to know who God is and let the people know he must be born again. Save yourself through Jesus Christ. So what we got? We got Revelation. Revelation. I can't understand why people said I can't understand. And they can't understand Revelation. It contains 22 chapters. To break it down for you, the first three chapters cover 2,000 years. 2,000 years equals the church of Ephesus all the way up to Laodicea, which is right now is 2,000 years. We're living in the last church age. So since we're living in the last church age and the church is getting ready to be raptured up, we're in the Bible that says the church will be raptured up. Go to the fourth chapter of Revelation. And the fourth chapter of Revelation says, let's see what it says now. I'm going to do this right. I'm going to take my time as I talk with you. And you want to listen, and I hope it's helping you. Where does the church leave? I'm trying to see where does the church leave. Let's see. We got three chapters. First three chapters in the church age. Last church age is Laodicea. And after the third chapter, I see the fourth chapter, and it says this. It says this after what? After this, I looked. John said after this. What? After the church age. After the time that the church has spent up on the earth, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open. And in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was it was of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I will show these things which must be hereafter. John called up. The church was called up. And after we've been called up, he said, now, I'm going to show you some things that's going to happen hereafter. After the church is in heaven, I'm going to show you what's going to happen on earth. And immediately, I was in the spirit, all right. I'm in the spirit. I'm in the spirit now, but I'm not in the spirit that the spirit is trying to tell me what spirit I'm in when the rapture of the church comes. Because when the rapture of the church comes, this mortal body will be changed to immortality, and my soul will already be saved. So what's going to happen? I'm going to become a spirit being. A spirit being. I won't have no capillaries and heart and liver. I won't have that. I won't have no blood system. I have the Spirit of God in me, and I have a spiritual body just like Christ. So I would be a spirit being altogether. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. Now, this is the rapture. This is the rapture right here. The third verse is, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like into an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunder and voices, and there were seven lamps, fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now this here, in the fourth chapter, gives us the rapture of the church, and when we are raptured, we are going to be headed for the judgment seat of Christ, Bema seat. That's where the fourth chapter is putting me now. That's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be there pretty soon. And all this year, in the rest of the verses, will give you a description of what the throne was going to look like. The 24 elders and the cherubims and the seraphims and them singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's the judgment seat of Christ. That's the judgment seat of Christ. This is what I'm saying. The judgment seat of Christ. That's Christ judging the church for their works. Not for salvation, but for works that they have done through salvation. I'll go back over that again. Not for salvation. Because when you get to heaven, it ain't going to be no more, have you been good or have you been bad? Because your sins have already been washed away. You're going to be judged for your works that you have done here on earth and how you have lived for Christ here on earth. And you're going to be judged all that you have done in this body, whether it's good or evil. And so by you being judged by your works, there's no condemnation at the judgment seat of Christ. There's only rewards for the works that you have done here on earth. And by what you have done here on earth, there are rewards. There are five crowns. Now, I won't get into that right now. So that fourth chapter gives you the exact spot that you will be if you save. I didn't say how pretty he was or how much education. I didn't say nothing about that. I didn't say I didn't say nothing. That ain't even in the picture. I want to know, do you know who Christ is? Do you believe that he died for you? Do you know what he went through for you? Do you accept what he went through for you? You willing to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart what he went through for you and your soul? Your soul, not your body. Your soul. What profit a man to gain the whole world and not lose his body, but lose his soul? And folks today, souls are being lost every day because people are not taking heed to the soul that lives forever, the soul that belongs to God, the soul that sinned against God shall die. And if you die, without Christ at your deathbed, it will be too late to get Christ. The best way to receive him is while you're alive in this body, because there's no salvation after death. You die, separated from God forever. Ain't no more offering. Ain't no more pleading. Why don't you come to Christ today? Why don't you come to Christ today? I just hope you got something from this, but I do want to pinpoint. I do want to pinpoint the main thing. It's not you just going to church. The main thing, have you personally repented of your sins wherever you are? Have you really been changed? Do you know you've been changed? Do you know that you know that you know that you've been changed? But the first three chapters of Revelation gives you 2,000 years of church history. The fourth chapter of Revelation gives you the rapture of the church. The fifth chapter of Revelation gives you the judgments that's getting ready to fall up on the planet after the church is raptured. The sixth chapter gives you the picture of the Antichrist. And the war. Four horses of apocalypse. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale, sickly-looking horse is getting ready to ride. The Antichrist is coming. War is coming. Famine is coming. And diseases and pestilence are coming. Don't be left here. Don't be left here. This is Elder Bajard. I'm trying to hold on and get this last few minutes in for you, but Apostle Paul said, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved if you want to be saved. Whatever you do, don't wait too late. Whatever you do, don't wait too late. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't let the devil deceive you. This world ain't got too much left. Ain't got too much left. It's just a few more hours, a few more months, a few more days. The great snatch is getting ready to happen. The removal of the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, what is man that thou shalt be mindful of him? What the son is man that thou shalt visit him? He made a little lower than an angel. We ain't that big. We just a lump of clay. And we got a soul that's made in the image and likeness of God. And God wants that soul. He wants that soul. He wants that soul. We don't want you to go to hell. Don't go. If you want to accept Jesus Christ right now, you don't have to have no 30-piece choir. You don't have to have no big music. You can just fall on your knees where you ever yet, because there's no guarantee that you're going to wake up in the morning. There's no guarantee that you're going to be alive for the next 4 or 5 hours. You can leave anytime. And if you miss the rapture, if you miss the rapture, are you going to know what to do after the rapture if you miss it? You need to know. And the word of God will tell you what to do. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible will tell you what not to do and what to do. Whatever you do, if you left here after the rapture, whenever the time of the Antichrist comes and the mark of the beast comes, this is one thing you do not want to do. That is, don't receive the mark. Receive the mark of the beast. Don't let nobody plant nothing in your body to decide whether you're going to eat or whether you're not going to eat. Don't bow down to no idol. Don't bow down to nothing. Don't receive the mark of the beast. If you do, your soul is damned forever. God bless you. God smiled upon you. God is your God, and he can be my Lord and your God. You need it tonight. Lord Jesus, whoever's listening to this, make this commitment. Father, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I'm sorry for sinning against you. I'm sorry that I was even born in sin. I'm sorry because I know you are a holy God and you require holiness. I confess with my mouth and I believe with my heart right now. I believe it with all I got that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh, and he died for my sins, that I could be saved by his blood. In Jesus' name, I pray. This is Elder Bazard. I wish I could stay a little longer with you, but I'm getting a little tired, but I'll be back next week. I'll be ready to roll some more, because more Bible prophecy is coming up. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. It's going to get so worse, amen, that men and women are going to wake up and find out that the word of God is right. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.